Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, guess what? We've got another one of those special podcasts for you today. And when my friend Dan Amadouri asked me if I'd like to have this interview, I jumped at the opportunity because we're talking today with Brian Slesarchuk, and he's the president of K92 Mining. If you've been around here for a while, you might recall it was last summer when we first had a chance to talk to Brian, and the assets that K92 had were getting ready to move into production, and gosh, it just sounded like a great opportunity. Well, you know, it was right at the peak of all the metals prices and the share prices last summer when that happened too. And so here we sit a year later. Everyone knows what's happened to the metals. We've all seen these miners, a lot of miners get cut at least in half, even though the metals are only down maybe a couple of percent. And K92 is another one of these that's been a victim of that. A year ago, we were at $1.50 a U.S. share. And heck, today we're down near 50 cents. So I thought, I've got to get an update from Brian and just find out, you know, what's going on here, how compelling the story remains. So anyway, Brian, thank you so much for taking some time.
Craig, thanks a lot for having me on.
Look, it is, as we record this, it's August the 3rd, and I just saw, I mean, coincident to our scheduling of this call, a fantastic press release that's an update on all of your operations and things that are moving forward and changes that have taken place this year. So I'm going to link that to this podcast page. But again, what great timing to have you, I mean, we're coming straight to the horse's mouth in that regard. Would you please just take the mic and just kind of update everybody on how the company's doing?
Absolutely, Craig. Today is a big day for the company. We put out a press release. And remember, from day one on this project, we said that we would focus on getting gold production restarted at our Irumafimpa deposit. And that once we had production up, running well, we would then focus on the big blue sky here that the project presents in the nearby Kora deposit and beyond. Well, what we were able to do today is announce to the market that production is indeed going very well, that we have now moved from mining development areas into production stopes where we get higher gold and copper grades, and that based on the fact that production is going well and we're about to target the declaration of commercial production in very short order, we will now focus on unlocking the massive blue sky that the project presents. And we'll do that initially by drilling exploration holes, following up on a big discovery that we recently made of the Kora deposit extension. And remember, Craig, Barrick Gold, the world's largest gold mining company, owned this project. And while the production profile at Irumafimpa is very important to K92, a massive behemoth of a company like Barrick didn't own it for that production profile. They owned it because they believed that this Kainantu project had world-class size potential. And now that we've got Irumafimpa up and running well, as indicated in the press release today, we're going to be drilling aggressively over the next several months. Starting in August, we'll be drilling 3,000 meters a month, exploration drilling to enhance and expand what we already know is a large and high-grade system.
And where is this project located again, Brian, just to remind everybody?
This is in Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is home to some of the world's largest gold and copper mining operations. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to do business. The natural resources within PNG account for 80% of the country's economic activity. So it's a real tried and true mining jurisdiction with a very good mining law, lots of companies operating there, and it hosts, it's one of those rare places in the world, Craig, that has proven ability to host high grades along with enormous size. That's what attracted Barrick there. That's what has attracted us to Papua New Guinea.
So is it safe to say that in the 12 months since we spoke, I mean, even though the share price has fallen by two-thirds, you guys are moving forward. I mean, not, from a strategic standpoint, from an operational standpoint, from a future revenue standpoint, I mean, you're just, nothing has changed. It's just that the share prices, have been, it seems like they've just been washed back just in general malaise and disinterest in the sector.
Absolutely. And if you look at where we are today versus where we were when you and I last talked, the company's advanced in a whole host of ways. And right from day one, we said we would get Irma Fimpa up and running, running well. And once it was running really well, we would then start the big expansion and exploration program. And today is the day that we announced that Irma Fimpa is running well and exploration is about to start in the next 15 days. So people get that rare exposure here to a producing gold company alongside of the big blue sky that only exploration can really unlock in this sector. Now, the share price has pulled back, general malaise in the sector. We're in the summer doldrums, so to speak, but the company's never been in better shape. In fact, in addition to the big progress on the ground, we recently raised $16.6 million from some of Canada's best and biggest institutional mining investors, a big validation of the project.
Yeah.
So we're very well capitalized as we embark on this aggressive exploration and expansion phase.
Yeah, and that's always important, obviously. You got to have cash, especially when you're doing all that exploration. What are your, I just ask you, what are your long-term plans, do you think, Brian? I mean, you get the Irma Fimpa rolling and those other projects that are near there. Do you see them as being the primary revenue drivers, or do you think there's opportunity to expand within New Guinea? Where do you see this company going in the next couple of years?
You know, Craig, from day one, we've said we have a three-step process here to execute. Number one, get Irma Fimpa into production, running well. That's now been achieved. Number two is to look between the Irma Fimpa deposit and the Kora deposit, complete an underground drive linking the two deposits, and drill from underground setups along the way to test for big expansion. And Kora is already large. It's high grade. We discovered an exploration discovery of the Kora extension 500 meters along strike and 150 meters down dip from the known extent of the deposit as it looks today. So what we'll be doing starting in the next 15 days is following up on that discovery hole, drilling all around it, and drilling between Irma Fimpa and Kora, targeting to build high-grade ounces. The third step over the longer term is big regional exploration. This is a 400-square-kilometer land package that we have. Kora, Irma Fimpa, that high-grade vein system is one component of it, and we believe it has world-class size and grade potential. But beyond that, there's the big porphyry potential regionally. That's why Barrick owned it, and we're going to start to look to unlock the value in this big land package. We'll be flying an airborne survey. We noted that today in the press release as a starting point on that regional exploration, and we hope that that provides multiple targets throughout the 400 square kilometers to further test. So it's a three-pronged approach. Number one, get Irma Fimpa running well. That's been achieved. Number two, big exploration program between Irma Fimpa and Kora. That's starting in the next 15 days. And then you've got the regional picture. So there's a whole lot going on site, and today represents a big catalyst in achieving that production profile. And now, because of it, being able to start the aggressive exploration and expansion program.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here shaking my head listening to you, Brian, because I've seen this in my career in the securities industry so many times, you know, where it doesn't matter what, if it's an equity or an asset class or whatever, they're just, the market always overreacts. you know, and money flows out. And to hear you tell me about the improvements and the progress that you've made in the last 12 months, I mean, it just doesn't jibe with what's happened to the share price. I bought some after we talked last time, but I haven't bought any since. I can tell you, I'll tell everybody right now, as soon as we're done today, I'm going to go buy some more because I just think what a tremendous value this holds at this price.
Absolutely, Craig. And today, you know, today being the exact day, I think that represents a huge turning point here potentially in the share price, because today marks the day that we've executed what we said we were going to do, get Earn with IMPA up and running, running well. And the minute that we achieved that, we're going to look to embark on an aggressive expansion and exploration program. And that program, as we noted in today's news release, will start in the next 15 days. So we're very excited not only about the production news today, but also the fact that achieving this production rate will now allow us to embark on phase two. And the stock has drifted back here. Today, there looks to be a bit of excitement out there, and I think this can be the launching pad for what should be not only an exciting several weeks, but a very exciting several months.
Yeah, it sure seems that way, my friend. And one last thing I wanted to ask you about, because and this is what I think is always fun, is that you see the world, you see the markets, if we want to call them that, in much the same way that I do within the industry, the way Keith Neumeyer does, the way pretty much everybody here at TFMR does. I mean, you recognize it for the scam element that it is, the pricing structure, you know, the way that we price it off of derivatives trading and the banks that control the derivatives and that kind of stuff. But here we sit, it's been a rising price all year when people thought prices were going to be falling. We look like we're ready to extend to new highs for this year. I'm on the record countless times saying that the best prices of the year are going to come in the fourth quarter and that 18 is going to be an even better year than that. What would a rising price, I mean, you're excited about your company and the prospects for expanding its footprint and its resource and what you can pull out of the ground at $1,250 gold. What would $1,400 gold do for you? $1,500 gold?
You know, it would have a big boost effect for us. And the gold component of this project is the key driver. When we purchased this from Barrick Gold, we wanted to make sure that we acquired a very high-grade asset. And the reason that we like high-grade is that protects us if we're wrong about gold in the short midterm. Now, we're exceptionally bullish on gold, and I think gold's going higher. But when you pick a high-grade project to work on, you're choosing something that can be resilient if gold prices are soft. Now, the reverse obviously is true in that when you have a high-grade project, you also get much more boost from a rising gold price. So if we're right about gold, this project dynamic can change incredibly to the upside. If gold is weak, we've got a high-grade project and we're in great shape already. But a rising gold price has a big impact here and a direct impact on our performance.
Geez Louise, yeah. I mean, to think of where it was a year ago, your share price, and then you factor in all the progress you've made, and then you factor in what if prices in the near future are above what they were a year ago. Well, sure seems to make a lot of sense to me, Brian. I'm very excited to get this update from you. The timing just couldn't have worked out better that we had this scheduled and then that release came out today. I just want to thank you for your time, and I wish you the best of luck and safe travels. I'm sure you probably have to shuttle back and forth to New Guinea.
Yeah, absolutely, and I appreciate that.
What's your favorite thing to do when you're not out there drilling holes in New Guinea? I mean, do you go out for New Guinean food, or what do you do when you're there?
You know, it's a fabulous place outside of the mining, and it's an incredible mining jurisdiction, and it's known for that. But outside of that, you've just got some really incredible biodiversity in the country, beautiful beaches and shoreline. The fishing there is amazing. And it's a unique place in the world. It's quite mountainous, and therefore, over time, You've had an incredible amount of dialects emerge. Yeah. There are over 600 dialects and languages, in fact, in the country. So it's just an incredibly unique place. I'm a big fisherman, so that's what I'm looking forward to doing on my next trip over there when we're not on the mine site. Time for that sort of activity is relatively short-lived. We're quite busy over there,
yeah.
24/7.
I would imagine. Well, you're working for all of us that own the shares, and we appreciate that. And like I said, I know everybody here at the site appreciates you taking the time to give us this update, Brian. With that, I think we'll call it a day, and I'll send you on your way. Again, work hard and safe travels.
Great. Thanks so much, Craig.
And from everyone here, again, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.